Good morning. Are you ready for this? Amen. Two amens. Oh, I'm in trouble. I'm glad you're here, and thank you, Alan, and Steve, and Kiana, the beautiful song. Appreciate that. And did you notice who was at the organ? Our own Dr. Mealy. Where is he? He left. There he is. Okay. I had no idea you had such a talented head elder. I mean, he can do anything, organ playing, and Sabbath school lesson, and preach, and psychiatrist, and everything else, psychologist. Okay, well, I'm a bit careful what I say here. Well, today, what are we going to be talking about? What's the sermon title? You have no idea? Uh-oh. Okay, it's going to be about promises for those who fear God. Promises for those who fear God. It's okay to take notes. Matter of fact, you'll get more out of the message if you take notes. So I want to encourage you to do that. I'll be giving you a lot of Bible texts, so be prepared for that. Why do we even need to fear God? Well, how many are familiar with the three angels' messages of the Seventh-day Adventist Church? Raise your hands if you've heard of those. All right, a few hands. They're found in the book of Revelation and chapter 14. If you believe we're living in the last days, you probably want to get familiar with these three angels' messages, and one of them has to do with our sermon today. Revelation chapter 14. And verse 7, saying with a loud voice, this is the angel calling. What does the angel say? Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. Have you noticed society in America and around the world is deteriorating? Have you noticed that? 20 years ago, if you watch television, most of the time, the language is fairly clean, but if you look at a modern day program made within the last 10 years, a lot of profanity. Have you noticed that? I've actually heard toddlers using profanity that they heard on television. What are children being taught by the media, in school, the playground? What's happening to marriage in the world today? Fewer and fewer people getting married, more and more people just living together. And they shift from partner to partner to partner to partner. And the children get all mixed up. I'd like to suggest to you that because we're living in the last days, and because one of the last day messages, the three angels' messages, says, fear God and give glory to him, is because people have forgotten to fear God, even in the Adventist Church. And that's a shame, because the Bible says that God will love you in a special way if you fear him. Where did I get that idea from? Did you hear what I said? That God will love you in a special way if you fear God. Well, I got that from the book of Psalms, chapter 103, and verses 8 through 13. It goes like this. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great, stay with me, so great is his loving kindness toward those who, would you like God's loving kindness to be poured out to you in a special way? Would you like to not receive the mark of the beast at the end of time. The Bible says, what do you need to do? Fear God. How many of you fear your parents? I know your parents are dead, perhaps. Some of you wish they were dead. How many of you, when you had parents that were alive, had a fear of your parents? You don't know what I mean, do you? How many of you were afraid of your parents? A few more hands, all right. That word fear kind of trips us up, because when we think of being fearful, we think of being afraid. That's not really what the Bible's talking about. If I were to ask, how many of you loved your parents? Raise your hands. Well, a lot more hands. And because you loved your parents, you respected them, you treated them with reverence, you called your mother on Mother's Day, sent her, you know, a bouquet of flowers or something, you gave special notice and attention to your parents. Well, that's the connection that God wants between you and Him. And the Bible says there is a strong connection between fearing and revering God and loving God. They're all part of the same picture. In Wyandotte, I happen to live in Wyandotte, sometimes there's some roughness in Wyandotte. And I was listening to one mother talk about her son, who was quite naughty most of the time. And I said, you know, what are you going to do to get through to your son? He's not listening to you. You ask him to do something, he doesn't do it. How do you get his attention? She said, I take a baseball bat to him. And she was serious. Now, that's a mother's fear, but that's different than respecting mother. And if you ever get spanked by your parents, no hands? Well, anyway, okay. You missed something if you were to raise your hand. Before we get into promises to those who fear God, I want to take a look at what the Bible says is going to happen in society just before Jesus comes back. And that is the loss of fear of God. And take a look at what the Bible says is an identifying marks of a people who no longer fear God. And hopefully no one here has any of these particular identifying marks, but we all know someone who does. So let me give you a couple. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 23 says, a fool treats sin lightly. It says, in fact, doing wickedness is like sport to a fool. They love to do wickedness. Sin, they don't even know if it exists. They don't care if it exists. It is wickedness that is popular for a fool. The second identifying mark of a fool, according to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 6, says a fool gets into arguments easily. A fool gets into arguments easily. Some people love an argument. They love it. They're excellent debaters, and if you get into an argument with them, watch out, because they can out-yell you. They can browbeat you. Maybe you've worked with people during the week who are people who love arguments. And number three, a fool responds to temptation quickly. A fool, person who has no wisdom, has no fear of God, responds to temptation quickly. And that, you can find the answer in Proverbs chapter 7 and verses 21 through 33. A fool gets into two areas of temptation very quickly. One is money. They tend to squander money. They can't save it, can't make it. And the other area is in the area of sexual misconduct. A fool will jump quickly into that kind of temptation. The Bible says that we need to turn from temptation, run from temptation. And a fool, however, will say, temptation, bring it on. I want more. That's the difference between a godly person and a person who is a fool. The Bible says, run from temptation. Some of you remember the story of the old timers. We're sitting on the porch in rocking chairs. They were remembering the good old days of the Old West. And one of the old timers said, you know, I'll never forget about the first bear that I killed. Another old timer said, you killed a bear? How'd you kill him? Did you shoot him? Nope. Another said, I bet you killed him with your knife. It was a hand-to-hand combat, and you knifed him, but he tore you all up, and it was very brave. That's how you did it, right? Nope. Another said, well, how did you kill the bear? He said, I ran him to death. I said, wow, how far did you have to chase the bear before it died? Didn't, said the old timer. I was in front of the bear. Run from temptation. You run long enough, far enough, fast enough, you'll leave it behind. That's the mark of someone who fears God. Some other characteristics of a person who does not fear God is they do not respond to reproof. Talking to them, you really shouldn't do that. That's a destructive behavior. Instead, you know, you should be doing this. They don't want to hear it. A fool will not respond to reproof, according to Proverbs 17, verse 10. We try to confront them, they will resist it. Another identifying mark, a person who does not fear God, is they trust only in what they feel and what they want to do. They do not trust God, they trust in their own feelings, they trust in their own heart. A fool thinks he knows what's right, but the end is destruction. Proverbs 36, verses 1 and 2 also say that a fool resists the Lord. Any and every opportunity that they have, they will resist God. If you try to speak to a fool about spiritual things, they will immediately put up a wall. They will resist, and you're wasting your time. Another pattern of speech that exposes people as those that do not fear God and, in fact, are foolish and not wise is the way they talk about other people. They like to slander people. According to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 18, it says that whoever spreads slander is a fool, no fear of God. But it says that a person who fears God loves, protects, and tries to cover up other people's sins rather than exposing them to the world. But fools continue to talk about sin and things that dishonor God and make other people look bad. There was a pastor who one day was slipped a note by one of his deacons. And if you've ever gotten a note, anonymous note in the mail or at work, someone leaves a note on your desk, usually you know it's going to be kind of negative. And so the pastor waited till he got home and opened up and he read the note. Next day, or next week, he was in the pulpit again and he said, I received a note from someone this last week. I'm going to read you what the note says. It only has one word. And the word was, to the pastor, fool. Fool. The pastor said, I've gotten a lot of letters from people who forgot to sign their names, but they wrote a letter, but I've never received a letter like this one where someone signs their name but forgets to write what they wanted to tell me. Interesting. Another way to identify a person who has no fear of God is the number of words they speak. According to Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 12 through 14, it says that a fool is known by his many words, always talking. And in fact, they talk so much that everyone around them knows they have no idea what they're talking about. But they just talk. The Bible says that for that person, it is folly and a shame to him. But it says that a wise man will hold back and be careful in what he says and how he says it and how much he says. The Bible says fools die for a lack of wisdom. Another identifying mark of a person who has no fear for God is the companions that they have. If you walk with wise men, you'll be wise. If you walk with godly men, you'll be godly. If you walk with fools, you will end up copying and doing foolish things with them. That's Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. So what does it mean to fear God? Well, first of all, the book of Proverbs, chapter 128, verses 1 through 4, gives an identifying mark. You probably already know this. It's very simple. If you fear God, you will walk in his ways. That's it. If you fear God, you are looking for ways to walk according to God's ways, his commandments, his values. Not your values, because we are sinners, but copying our Heavenly Father. What else does it mean to take a stand and choose to have fear for God? Well, to do that, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, it says, the fear of God is to hate evil. The fear of God is to hate evil. Now, I know right now I'm saying something that is politically incorrect, because we live in a society that teaches us to be tolerant of everyone. Nothing's wrong. Everyone's okay. You're okay. I'm okay. You're a God. I'm a God. We are superior people. We are spiritual people. And we live in a supernatural plane because we are divine. You know what that is? That's Neo-Buddhism. It's found in a lot of different religions. You're okay. I'm okay. The Bible says if you have a fear of God, you will cross, make a line, and say, I'm not crossing this line, and you shouldn't either. It's to take a stand against evil and for God. And if you do that, it's politically incorrect. But it will save you at the end of time. The Bible says, by the fear of God, men depart from evil. Fear God, depart from evil, follow in God's steps, take a stand against evil practices. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, it says, that we need to cleanse ourselves from the defilement of the flesh and the spirit and perfect holiness in the fear of God. How else do we fear God? We fear God when we worship and serve Him. So let me ask you a question. Do you really know how to worship God? And how often do you worship God? Anyone ever heard of Johnny Carson? How many heard of the comedian Johnny Carson? Died some years ago. On one of his programs, he said this, and I quote, he said, "What has happened to religion today? We have a church where they practiced being believers one day a week. It's one day in seven. It's the Seventh-day Adventist church." Whoa. Do we only serve God on Sabbaths? The Bible says we need to serve God all 7 days, not just the seventh day. Worship God, serve God. If you're not serving God, what has happened in your spiritual life? You're getting flabby. You need to serve God. All right, so what are the promises for those who fear God? That's what you all come to hear, right? And they are wonderful benefits. First of all, you already know this one, and that is you will be wise. If you fear God, you will be wise. You don't want to be foolish, do you? You don't want to, at the end of time, be a fool, because if you're a fool at the end of time, you will be a fool for eternity. Be wise and fear God, and He will bless you. All right, Psalms chapter 111, verse 15 says, "He provides food to those who fear Him." You want to have food on your table? Fear God. And not just physical food. We're talking about soul satisfaction. All right, so God will provide food. Psalms chapter 34 and verse 9 says there is no want to those who fear Him. No want to those who fear Him. So, what do you want? What do you want? Do you know what you want? The Bible says if you are showing fear of God, walking in holiness, worshiping, serving God, you will not want any good thing. Okay, another one, Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 12. Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 12, a promise to those of you that choose to fear God. It says it will be well with them that fear God. It will be well with them who fear God. Do you need wellness? Wholeness, practice the fear of God. Here's another one. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 4. Proverbs 22 verse 4 has a whole list, but there are three in particular. It says, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life." Do you want riches? Do you want honor? Do you want to really experience life? How do you do it? Fear God. All right, another one. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 27. The fear of the Lord adds life. The fear of the Lord adds life. Have you noticed that Seventh-day Adventists, I don't know if you know, that Seventh-day Adventists have a longer life expectancy, if they're practicing Seventh-day Adventists, than the rest of the population? Been a lot of different studies. They live longer, and they live a happier, more fulfilling life if they fear God, follow Him, worship Him, serve Him. If you want to live longer and better, fear God. All right, here comes another one. This one is going to be especially important in the last days. It's Psalm 34, verse 7. It says, "The angel of the Lord encamps about those who fear him." Could you use some protection? Probably. Your family? Hedge of protection? Your household? Your children? Children of children? It says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him." Here's another one. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 26. Proverbs 14, 26. "He who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children it will be a refuge." Secure fortress, place of refuge for those who fear God. And another one, Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 6. "The fear of the Lord is treasure." The fear of the Lord is treasure. Go on a treasure hunt and experience what it's like to live in the fear of God. And honor. How many of you would like to be honored? No, don't raise your hands. That's boastful. But anyway, no, you can raise them if you want. The Bible says in Psalm 15, verse 4, that God will honor those that fear him. God will honor those who fear him. If you live honorable, an honorable life, a life in godliness, you will be a person of honor. You will be respected, not only in this world, but the next. So says the Lord. And for those of you that need healing, you're sin sick, you're tired, you're worn out, you're confused, hard to focus on things, and you need a special touch of healing. Here it comes. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2, it says that unto you who fear my name will the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. If you need healing, it's in the wings of Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness, for those who fear him. So I'd like to ask you a question. I'd like to ask for a response. I'd like to know how many of you would like to say, "I want to choose to live my life in the fear of God." How many of you would like to say yes by raising your hands? It's like every hand is up, and all the people said, "Amen." Our heads for closing prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, we've sung this excellent hymn, and we know that we cannot have any fear for you except it come to us from the Holy Spirit. And we need the breath of God upon us, changing us, filling us. We thank you that Jesus died, not just so that we can have our slate from sin washed away, but so that we can live godly lives in the fear of God. We thank you for the comfort that you have waiting for us, for the honor, for the richness, the blessing, the meaningful life. And we want to choose that today. And by raising our hands today, we've indicated that that's our lifelong choice. We're ready for the promises you've given in your word. We know that you do not lie, and that even now these promises are getting ready to be poured out on those of us who've chosen to fear you and to live accordingly. And may we be found not wanting at the end of time with fools who do not know you, who will not follow you, but instead with faces lifted up, saying, "This is our God. We waited for him. and he will save us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.